Why did you point at me?
I don't know. But did you hear the ding from my computer?
I did. What was the ding?
That was my email coming in. But
you have notifications on your email. Come on.
I have notifications on my email. Of course I do. I've got to know when. I mean, so many important people email me. I just have to know when it all happens. You know, REI, they email me all the time.
I am on this podcast with you. So that's one person. And I know you drop everything when I email you. So you don't have to worry about that.
I literally do, but I need the ding to remind me to look at my email.
Could we change the ding? Because honestly, it's kind of effeminate when you hear the ding and it's me. Could we ding like that?
Maybe not that, but maybe I'll record your voice going,
"Hey, Nick, it's me. See? Hey, big fella, it's me. I've got an email in your box."
Do you know that you can on Waze actually have someone record all of the turn by turn directions? That's
interesting.
You could record on my Waze all of my, and I could call it the John. So every direction that I use comes from John.
Jeez. I would say naughty things, and you'd have to have the family in there, and they like it.
Yeah. I probably will have Peyton do that eventually when she's.
That would be funny when she goes off to college.
when she goes off to college.
Yes. I had a TomTom. Remember those?
I remember TomTom. We actually, So go on with your story.
Well, no, I was just going to say I had one and, I was able to download, Celebrity Voices doing the directions. I had John Cleese.
Nice.
And it was hilarious. Turn right ahead. And it was, he just had the greatest, up ahead, bear right, beaver left. I don't know why it's funny, but it was pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. For those people who know who John Cleese is.
Who doesn't?
Young people.
Young people probably still do. I mean, I was watching Monty Python when I was, when I was a kid, and it was,
problem is
15 years then.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you're 20 years older than I am? And I was watching it as a kid, too.
Bringing that up.
You're welcome.
I know. Yes.
Anyway, all that to say, you can do that with Waze too. They do have Celebrity Voices. I don't think they have John Cleese. I would be all over that.
I think I paid $9.95 for the Cleese plugin. Yeah. And for me to do voices for you, it would be substantially. Prices have gone up.
It's inflation.
Know.
Yeah. Yes. They say it's really leveled off, but not for directions. No.
Who says that?
Do we really want to go there?
No.
Let's not.
No.
This is supposed to be a political-free podcast.
It kind of is, but we delve into it a little bit from time to time. There's so much weirdness right now.
That's exactly why. And that's not even, talking about you.
Hey. All right. Everyone is dying to know.
All 32
how
people.
Your road trip was. And if you're new to this, first of all, welcome to all of our viewers and listeners. It is so awesome to have you with us, and we always have a great time with you. And Nick has been out on a family/business vacation/work trip. There were a lot of slashes, and not bad ones.
The tires, right?
No, not the tires. No one attacked you, I hope, with a knife or anything like that.
Not with a knife.
Okay.
Maybe verbally.
Verbally is fine. You should be used to that by now.
I really am.
But he had a great trip, and that is forefront on our to-do list. Is we got to do a quick debrief of what the trip was like, some of the high points, maybe where you ended up going.
Absolutely.
And did Jen and Peyton stay at a Marriott?
Well, to answer that question, yes, they did twice. However, let me start out by saying I don't wear briefs. Boxer briefs, yes. Briefs, no. Now that that's out of the way. So the trip started.
Was that a question?
No.
Did someone submit that?
No, you said brief, in brief. I'm not in briefs. Anyway, I digress.
I hope I'm not the only one that just fell asleep.
Probably not. Okay. No.
Continue,
that's just podcast in general.
Okay, Mr. Brief, let's go.
So anyway, I think we discussed the trip beforehand. Now it is post-trip, and it's actually exactly, well, it'll be tomorrow morning, you know, in about, I don't even know what time it is. What time is it? You know, four or five hours, I guess.
Okay.
It's going to be exactly 1 week since I left, or 2 weeks rather, since I left. So the plan was load up the Jeep. We did all this. We bought all this camping gear. I had had a lot of camping gear prior, but we were going to a place that I had never camped in before. And I got some more gear that's meant for more long-term camping versus just a night or two out of your car. So I had done all of that. We packed the Jeep. And I set out on my own because we had a conference in Breckenridge, Colorado. And I set out the weekend before. So Saturday before, I drove through Kansas or to Kansas to a place in Kansas. And
that was your first night?
That was the first night. And the goal was to camp on the way out to Colorado.
Yeah, right.
Well, when I got to Hayes, Kansas, I looked at my temperature gauge at 8 o'clock at night. It was actually about 8:20, and it still said 104. I'm sorry, I'm not camping in 104 degree weather. And I looked at what the low was going to be, and the low was going to be 89. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I've got to get up early because the plan was I drove as far as I possibly could, which was about 12 and a half hours.
Yeah,
and I was going to get up early in the morning so I could drive the rest of the way to get into the mountains faster, so I'd have some time to, you know, explore and then find a campsite and the camp up there, which I did. So I stayed a night in a hotel there, got into the mountains around Breckenridge, and got up to my campsite at 12,000 feet, found the one I wanted. Then didn't have any cell signal, which I expected, but I thought maybe going down the path a little bit, I could find it. No, I had to drive down the other side of the pass to go down to another town to be able to text everybody. I texted my boss, a coworker, and my wife on a text chain, said, here are my coordinates. This is where I'm staying tonight. You know, I'm fine. I'll text at this time in the morning. So I did that. And you can see a lot of this, actually. I'll start posting it on the Eat Drink Road pretty soon, but it is on my personal account for those of you who follow my personal account. Some of the pictures from the trip. But I went in, did some solo camping one night, and then went down for the business trip, which was a conference for the entire week in Breckenridge. Had a lot of fun. There learned a lot and spent some time with some great time with some of my coworkers, including you know, some of the people that have been on the podcast before, including Matt. And then on Thursday, which was technically the last day of the conference, Jen and Peyton flew out to Denver. So I went and I picked them up and they came back and spent a night. We happened to be at a Marriott. So that was the first night at a Marriott. In Breckenridge, and I gave them the tour of Breckenridge. We went and saw the troll, all that good stuff.
Cool.
We got into the Jeep, and then we took the back roads, which was really cool, from Breckenridge up to the Black Hills, up to about a mile and a half.
Rapid City?
General area, but we actually went to Mount Rushmore, and we stayed at a campsite about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from the monument. So the idea was to go out there and disperse camp, which means you don't pay for it. You just go find a campsite, but it was really difficult. So again, not a very experienced disperse camper yet.
When you say disperse camp,
it's not campsite.
Different?
So
how is that different from a boondocking?
It's not. Well, it is and it isn't. So boondocking is, you can still go to a paid campsite and boondock. Boondocking just means you aren't connected to anything.
You have no connections.
You have no connections. So you can't. So for example, the campsite that we stayed at was a paid campsite in a national park.
Got it.
But we had no hookups. So technically that's considered boondocking.
Understood.
Dispersed camping is there's no set camp area. So you can literally go out into Forest Service, BLM, anywhere where they have dispersed camping and then just basically pick your campsite. Technically, you're supposed to be able to camp wherever you want. But what they recommend, especially for people that are starting, they recommend it for everyone, but especially for people that are just starting out, is to look for places people had camped in the past. So, you know, an area of open area where you could see that things have been set up like tents or campers or things like that, or fire rings, which in Colorado was very easy to find. And that's cool. What I did the first night was disperse camping.
Okay. So just a couple of things I want, because I, as you were talking about your route, I was pulling up on maps to see exactly where you went. You made it to Hayes the first day.
Yes.
Okay. So, and you said it was hotter than a mad dog. So that was your, by far your longest, so far at least your longest
drive. That was the longest. Day. No, it was the longest drive period. That was 12 and a half hours.
12 hours. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And it's funny. You said Hayes was really hot. Then when I plugged in Hayes into maps, it pulled up a, you know how they have the photos on Google My Business or the town that it pulls up. It has a photo of a bunch of people in a swimming pool. Nice. Apparently that's what it's known for.
I guess. It was a cute little town.
You should have seen it. Well, that's cool. And it looks like a neat spot. Yeah. And then not that far, comparatively, at least, to Breckenridge. No. Looks like
it was about 5.5-6 hours. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Wasn't too bad. And then about the same, it looks like, up to Mount Rushmore. And I saw your pictures, which were pretty cool, because we just went there last year. Yeah. COVID year.
Yeah.
So I think it was 21. First time I'd ever been there.
And this was the first time.
Really impressive.
It is. And I'll get to that, because you'll find this extremely funny too, I think. But first, we looked for dispersed camping and couldn't really find a defined camping spot. And I'm just not to the point where I'm comfortable just pitching a tent, even though technically you can.
Not in the sometimes thought of way of pitching a tent.
Correct.
When you're camping.
Yeah. Okay, and I even asked the campground people, because when we went in there, this was the closest campground to Mount Rushmore. And so I asked them, I said, is there a dispersed camping around there? Like, yeah, you just go anywhere south of the KOA, which we had passed the KOA on the way in, and actually had to go back to the KOA to get cash, because they only accepted cash at the campground.
Okay.
And it was weird. Anyway, so we went and we decided, because it was late, it was dark, it was getting dark. We didn't get a really big head start in the morning, so we didn't have a lot of time when we got there to find a place and put everything together. So we just decided to go ahead and camp at the campground. It was fine. We were pretty close to people, and the quiet hours were from between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., and it was just eerie, because at 9:45, everything just went silent.
Wow.
And then about, 10 o'clock hit, and we were just getting into bed. Oh, we were actually in bed already, and I was just about to fall asleep, and all of a sudden you hear a couple of cars pull in and, you know, get dead eerie. Now, a couple of families came in, and they started talking really loud and pitching their tent and stuff like, and they did that until 1:30 in the morning, until someone else at another campsite came over and said, you have to be quiet. You know, everyone is sleeping. And then they finally got quiet, but then they were awake at 5 a.m. doing the exact same thing. It's like they had no respect for anyone.
Wow. That is one of the major, and I don't want to say downsides, but comments that I hear from people about camping, that you are, again, unless you're in the middle of nowhere boondocking and, you know, you've got no one even near you, then it's obviously not as big a deal. But it is not being able, that you don't know your neighbors.
Yep.
You don't know, you know, who's going to be there. Are they going to be drinking, or, you know, smoking pot, or what? It is Colorado.
No, this was South Dakota.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But in Colorado, that's one of the issues. And so you just don't know what you're going to be dealing with. And you don't want to be a jerk about it, but you know, what do you do? Go out. Yeah. It's 2 a.m. How about, you know, a little glass of SCFU?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was annoying. So we got up the next morning, packed everything up, got in the car, because believe it or not, Mount Rushmore opens at 5 a.m.
Oh my gosh, opens
at 5 a.m. and closes at 11 p.m. after they do a grand lighting. So we went, and it wasn't quite 5. It was more like 7 when we got there, but 7 a.m. Nothing else was open. So we paid our $10 to park, and we spent a whopping 10 minutes there. We walked in, saw the monument, took our pictures, kind of looked around a little bit, and then we booked it, because we had to get on the road to head to my dad's. That was enough time. No, that was enough time for us, because we're not those type of people that have to ooh and ah. And it's like, oh, we saw it. It's really cool. yeah, this is really cool. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, that's really amazing. Okay. Let's take some pictures. Yep. Okay, great. We've been here. Let's go. All three of us are like that. So it's that's very helpful.
It is helpful.
So then we got in the car and then we took, so anyway, I had mentioned we went from Breckenridge to the Black Hills, taking the back roads. Mm-hmm. So we went up through the mountains in Colorado, then in the mountains and then kind of out from Wyoming into South Dakota and then up into the Black Hills. Beautiful. Absolutely worth the drive. And we, you know, took our time, but not really taking our time. I think it added a whopping 30 minutes to our drive.
Sure. I guess I'm just looking at, oh, you went up 26 then. 85.
Yeah, we hit no interstates. 18. It was pretty much a two-lane road the whole way.
Very
cool. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it almost, that actually shows it as the shortest way. Yeah,
it is the shortest, but once it does take a little
bit. Get out of Greeley. Right?
Which, no, this isn't Greeley. What does my cat say? It is Walden, Colorado. So we went to the small town Walden, Colorado, which was really, really cute when I got my hat. Because Jen doesn't like the fact that I buy so many hats, but I'm bald, so I like hats. And so I buy one where pretty much
you are?
That's I wouldn't know because I wear hats so much.
that was sort of my point.
But I finally, because I resisted while I was in Breckenridge. I did some other, but I finally got a hat when I was in Walden. It was really cheap and I liked it. So anyway.
Nice.
So then we drove up to my dad's again, taking the back. Well, we had no choice but to take back roads up to my dad's unless we wanted to go into Montana and then over, which would have been fine. But, so we did that again, beautiful, beautiful country, got up to my dad's and spent a couple of days, went to the celebration of life for his friend Lon. And
you mentioned that, which
was wonderful. Got to see a bunch of people, got to spend some time with my cousins. One of which, ironically, the last time I saw her, she was Peyton's age. Mm-hmm. And she was actually in the room with us. She was, I know this is morbid, but she was the one who actually called they allowed us in the room to call the time of death of my mom. So I let her do it. So she was the one who stated what time my mom actually died for the paperwork. Anyway, and she's also named after my mom. So her name is Francine. Oh. We call her Frankie.
Very cool.
So she's 23 now, I think. 22. She's 22 or 23, something like that. Anyway, she'll be 23 this month. So she was there. So Peyton got to meet her for the first time. And her sister, her older sister, Jenna, was there, who we refer to as Crazy Cousin Jenna. And then Frankie's the twisted sister. So anyway, they were there. And I have not seen Peyton smile that much and laugh that much in so long. She had an absolute blast. We stayed in my dad's Taj Mahal of a camper. So I think I had mentioned before that this whole trip was to see what kind of camping we would be better at as a family. You know, tent camping. Sure. Do we need a little camper? Do we need a big camper? Whatever.
And of course, he has a fifth wheel. Does he have a fifth wheel?
I don't know what you call those, because it's a gooseneck. Is that a fifth wheel?
Yeah, fifth wheel.
Because it's got four wheels.
Yeah, a gooseneck is usually referencing. Did we talk about?
Yes, we did.
Referencing a, it's more like a horse trailer. It has more of the single pin, whereas the fifth wheel has single pin, but it's built out all the way. So you've got usually a bunk or a bedroom or something like that, just over the pin.
Yeah, that's where his
gooseneck typically does.
No, this one has a bedroom.
He has a fifth wheel. Yeah, he has
a fifth wheel.
So a nice very one. Nice. And they like
this
that.
This thing better. Is, oh yeah, of course they did. This thing is 15 years old, but it looks like it's brand new.
You know what brand it is?
It's a Jayco. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, it was beautiful. And of course, the first morning, we're sitting there again, immaculate condition, white carpet. Mm-hmm. The fact that it had carpet was a little bit off. I don't like carpet.
I was going to say white carpet for camping.
Exactly.
This isn't it hasn't really had much use.
Yeah. Well, he's only used it twice. He and my stepmother. Anyway, we go in and first day we're sitting on the couch. I made coffee. And Peyton was trying to open something. And I said, here, hold my coffee. I'll open it for you. Be very careful. It's hot. Hold it here. I was being very specific. Hold it here and here. So she did, but of course it was still too hot. And rah, instead of setting it down because it was too hot, she threw it all. So of course I had to, you know, clean the white carpet. Luckily, it didn't seem to stain too much, but we'll see. We'll see how happy my dad is with me after he has to clean that.
But then we left. Yeah.
No, we actually stayed there one more night. And actually, the bed was so freaking comfortable. I don't tell my wife that I said that, but I was really impressed.
Why wouldn't I tell your
wife?
She
loves it. She wants that sort of camper, and I'm like, I can't because my Jeep can't pull that. And she's like, well, we don't have to have the Jeep. And I'm like, you want to talk about that?
You know what some people do? Well, what some people do is get a big honking semi tractor, throw the fifth wheel on it, and then pull the
Jeep. Yeah, I've seen those. We saw those on the way. People were pulling their boats that way. My dad has a big ass truck. He's got a 1-ton Ram. But that's what he pulled. Anyway, no, I said we're either going to if we're going to go Taj Mahal, we're going to get a motorized one, and then pull the Jeep behind it. That's how we're doing it. Because I'm not getting rid of my Jeep.
So you know, well, no, you don't need to do that. Just get a why don't you follow Jeff?
There you go. Jeep. That'll go over well. Now, if we were ever to get something that nice, just sell the freaking house. I mean, that's nice. Literally, that house or that camper was nicer than my house.
Yep, I understand. I understand, and that's the thing. If you are going to commit to that full time, it's a whole different set of rules then, because you know, do you look for campsites? I mean, it's one thing to boondock when it's a once every quarter, you know, that you're out there doing it. It's a whole different thing if you're dumping every week because you're boondocking and not hooked up to a sewer. So, you know, we've thought about it at least I did. it's quite a commitment. And then here comes all the other rules that go along with it. Sometimes it's delightful, and sometimes people are like, oh, this has been great, and you meet nice folks, and that's cool. And then sometimes you have the guy who's drunk every night and can't shut up. And,
well, and then, of course, you've got my dad or more specifically my stepmom, who, you know, it makes a really nice lawn ornament. Which I shouldn't say. You know, for them, it makes a really nice guest house. So when my dad bought that property, there was a house. It was actually a trailer, like a double wide, that was sitting on the property. Mm-hmm. And he lived in that while he built his current house. And then he sold that double wide. But all of the infrastructure is still under the ground there. So what he did is he pulled the camper into that area and then plugged everything. Oh, so the sewer runs into the sewer and the water runs. Yeah. Cool. So it's like a little guest house.
It sure is. Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
And then the views were.
So you hadn't seen your dad in 4 years. While.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was his 70th birthday party. It was the last time I saw him.
That had to be good. It was. Though, to get caught up with him a little bit.
I'm lucky because he doesn't listen to the podcast. So, and I actually said this to his face, so it's not like I'm going behind his back. But when I saw him at a 70th birthday party, I was worried. He did not look good. He looked old and he did not look healthy. When we saw him this time, he looked like he was probably in his mid 60s. I mean, he went backwards in age. He looked so good.
So what changed?
Well, he got a new knee for one, and he just said, I've been eating better and taking better care of myself since my knee doesn't hurt so bad. So he looks fantastic.
For him.
I'm more confident in the fact that he'll be around for quite a bit more time. Yeah.
Cool. That's good. And so after your dad's, how long were you
there? So we were there a couple of nights. So that's when the trip stopped being more of a kind of a vacation and turned into more of a rush. Because at that point,
to get home.
We still had to go see my aunt or my aunt, depending on what part of the country you're from.
Yes.
Had to go see her in Minneapolis. And then Peyton needed to get to my in-laws for Camp Nana Papaw. And usually she spends a week, but this time she only got to spend a couple of days with them. So we had to rush down there so she'd be able to do it before school started. Because I think we may have talked about it. Peyton is actually going back to regular school now. which is a whole other story. I know I've told you already, but I think our listeners will enjoy that as well. So we booked it from my dad's to my aunt's, spent the night there, and then booked it from there to, we made it to Indianapolis, spent the night in another Marriott, and then booked it from there to Knoxville to drop Peyton off. And then, then we came home, Jen and I did. And then we had to go back to get Peyton following Sunday. So nice. that was the whole trip. Very good. Wow. Honestly, very relaxing for the most part. And until we got home, obviously, and had to come back to the real world. And, how are we going to work the studio? How are we going to get Peyton? How are we going to get school started? Blah, blah, blah. All that other crap. Yep. Peyton started school on Monday, this past Monday. And she absolutely loves her new school. It's, I think, for just to kind of remind everybody, Peyton was in a private school. Then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so for half a year, she was home. She was doing school from home. She excelled quite a bit. So we decided, and this was before Jen had purchased a studio, we had thought that we want to go out and live a different lifestyle. So we thought we were going to move out to the West area. So, Colorado-ish, Utah, stuff like that, which ironically ended up being my territory for my job. So it would have fit really, really well. So we decided to go ahead and homeschool Peyton because that was the final hurdle for us was her school. We did like her school quite a bit, still do. So we homeschooled her. She kind of did okay, but then last year, which was her second year of homeschool, she just completely fell flat on her face. It was a horrible experience. So we decided to take or let her go back to real school because she had been requesting it. And we found a magnet school that's art focused. So it's an art school and it's a magnet school. It's public school, which I have a problem with public school in Nashville, but I think this will be good for her. And that's what it's all about, right? So she has gone back to school, made it the first day, absolutely loved it, already started making friends. Second day, she made even more friends. She's having a blast. Third day, everything was great. And then that night she came home and she's like, hey, I'm a little chilly. So we took her temperature, had a very light fever and like, okay, we'll sleep it off, And then the next morning she woke up, she had a pretty bad fever. Oh, 100. It was not horrible. It was about 101. So we went ahead and tested her. And those 15-minute antigen tests? It was positive like that. So, you know, 4 days in, poor girl has tested positive for COVID. So she's home. She feels absolutely fine, but she can't go back until next Tuesday. So that's kind of our story now, which is ironic because she hates school, but she's so upset that she can't go back.
Well, and that's awesome because it's that just tells you that you have her in the right place. And it's you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday offline, and that to me is, it's one of the outcomes of COVID when if it's the flu or it's a cold or it's, whatever, however it's manifesting itself for most people, this current strain is really not much. And everything from sniffles to a cough to whatever, it is mostly taking the form of a cold, and low grade fever also comes into play too. But yet we still have these COVID tests, and once you pronounce that I have COVID, well, hell, it's like you have the memory of, Delta and it's going to be bad. And I'm not saying I'm just saying in general, that's kind of how the reaction
goes. And I think I had already talked to you about this. It was very interesting because all of the paperwork that we filled out, which the irony of that too, is the day she tested positive was also the day the CDC released their new guidelines on how to handle COVID, which is all downgraded. Not to, basically telling you, if you don't feel well, stay home. That's pretty much what it boiled down to be. That said, so all of the way they made it sound with the Metro schools is exactly what you're saying. It's this huge deal, blah, 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 blah. But then when we actually called, because we are in the same thought process as you, it's just kind of, it is what it is. Yeah. We're all going to get sick. Do the best you can to mitigate the symptoms.
Sure.
So we call the school and they were just very blasé about it. Everything has been very blasé. And we got an email today. this morning about how to how they're supposed to go, and basically they said, hey, your kid gets 5 days, you know, 5 days excused absence. If they test positive again, they get another 5 days if they need it. But, you know, it's whatever. Just come back when you can.
And yeah, that's good. I mean, that makes me happy. It's I guess the biggest issue I have is that is the making of recommendations on a larger scale, like the CDC or even the WHO, which whatever. The CDC in particular seems to be reactionary way more than proactive, and it's you know, well, this is how it is now, and going running the gamut from if you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID and you will not spread COVID. And, well, you'll get it a little, or you'll spread it a little, and then, you know, and I'm not going to go down that path, but typically they'll use data to define what the action should be. And, or at least I would hope they would, but it seems that they haven't done that as much as they might. So anyway, but that's the COVID story, and we don't need to dwell on it. It's been, everything has been said about COVID that can possibly be said. I've had some friends who have been deathly ill. And so I'm very thankful. Yeah, I know
people who have died from it.
For all those, and some who have died as well. And it's just people react differently, not unlike other diseases or other infections or other viruses. But for the most part, use your own best judgment, because that's really kind of the bottom line to all of it. You know, if I have a cold, I don't want to infect people with a cold. If I have the flu, I don't want to infect.
And that's exactly what you and I
defining it.
That's exactly what you and I talked about, because, you know, that's the thing. If the CDC has to come out and say, hey, if you don't feel well, stay home. How do we not already know that? Yeah. That's the irony of it, is there are people out there that just don't know that. They don't think that way.
I suppose. But I, you know, do you then do all of your guidelines based on that tiny percentage of people that really, I shouldn't have. A buddy of mine had a guy at work who said he got COVID tested positive, and he still came into work, and he's working next to people. And he's like, oh, I need to do my job. I got to pay the damn bills, and I don't have the hell with this stuff. I infect people. What kind of an idiot is that? You know, and you just, but there are people like that, I guess. And so that's how it goes. But yeah, I would think that common sense would be a really good rule of thumb. Use your own best judgment. Yep.
And if you're at it, and I hate to say it this way, but if you're at a job that's going to make you come in when you're sick like that, then you might not want to be there.
Yes. Yeah, that's certainly a consideration. You know, so you did not see, going back to your trip real quickly, you did not see, you know, they talk about the monuments.
We saw we did see,
That's what I was going to ask. Crazy Horse? Did you see Crazy Horse? Okay, so, and Lisa and I visited because we were there to see the monuments. So we stopped, spent the night in Rapid City, and that was at Ameria. and had a great time, and we had dinner at a steakhouse. Did you cook something on the hot plate? No.
Yeah, we got a charcuterie tray from the grocery store.
Nice. That's still good. I'm a fan. But we went, so we did go to Crazy Horse, and here's what makes me sad about that, is that it's never going to be done. No. That monument will never be finished. And you go there and they do, it's a nice, you know, cultural display. And they have a native lady who does a really nice dance and tells a story. And I mean, it's culturally very nice. And then they have the artist rendering and, you know, just so you know, it's never, ever going to look like that. And they may be, you know, chipping off a fingernail here or, you know, something where he's pointing there, but it's never going to happen. And I don't mean to say that in a sense that, you know, oh, we're giving up and we're not. It was $26, I think, for us to drive the car in there. And then whatever you buy.
Which is weird because it's far enough, or it's close enough off the road, you really don't need to go in and park. unless you want to stare at it.
You're right. Well, let's just say it like this. When you get inside there, it's still so far away, right. You can barely see it. It's not close. It's not close at the main road, and it's not close when you go up there. You look at the rendering and you go, it would be pretty cool. It's beautiful and the wonderful design. And there have been many people, several who have died, who were the designers, the architects, and, it's just, but it's sad because in our lifetime, it will never be completed. So, what do you do? Do you throw more money at it?
Well, isn't that the answer?
Instead of giving $44 billion to Ukraine, how about 43 and put $1 billion towards Crazy Horse?
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be an oversimplified fix, maybe only 80,000 IRS agents. Then, the other 7,000, you can just put toward.
That is crazy.
Anyway, cool. Yeah, it's cool. And I did love we are also like you, not the going gaga over monuments. And but we took, several pictures, and there are the state on that bridge. There are like the state plaques. So we did a Wisconsin. Yeah,
we did something very similar. Absolutely. Yeah.
So not Wisconsin.
No, we did look at the Wisconsin flag, but no, we did Tennessee and Minnesota, it was a lot of fun, and a dollar a minute is not bad.
Cool. Wow. I guess it depends what you're paying for.
the whole thing was good, and that 12 hours out there, which was kind of weird. Getting towards the end, the speeding to get there drives were a lot worse than the speeding to get out, because that 12 hours went by like that. But that's because the gas mileage is nowhere like a Cadillac, but the Jeep actually rides very smoothly and it rides like a Cadillac.
Good.
I was listening to podcasts and a book on tape the whole way out, and it just, the time just flew by like nothing. It was fantastic.
Cool. Well, and I think when you first leave too, I don't know if you find this, but I do.
Yep.
It's like an adventure. You frame it as an adventure, and it's fun, and you're seeing new places and so on. Had you targeted Hayes? Was that going to be your stop, or you weren't sure?
Excuse me. Yeah, that was going to be there. Okay. They had plenty of camping areas out there. Nothing. See, that's the interesting thing that I find very frustrating about just my area in general. And Jen and I have talked about it. Because we're still in that phase where her business could make it or it might not. We don't know. We hope that
aren't
it's
we all?
Right. We hope for the positive that it will make it. But if it doesn't, what are we going to do next? And my statement to her is it was twofold. One, it's really expensive to live in Nashville right now. For those of you who are here, for those of you who have experienced it, it's getting bad. It's very, very, we couldn't afford to even live in our house right now if we were to have to buy it again. There's no place in Nashville we could go if we were to sell our house. So I said, I'd like to go somewhere cheaper. I really would. And then I said, I would even go to Colorado. And she's like, Colorado's not cheaper. And I said, here's the draw, or here's where I draw that line. Nashville is wonderful. I love it, but it doesn't fit the lifestyle that we desire, which is more of the nature, outdoorsy. Camping.
Sure.
Yep. It has that element. Don't get me wrong. If we go east, especially East Tennessee tends to be a little bit more like that lifestyle, not necessarily Middle Tennessee, because in the winter, it's too cold for everybody. Right. There aren't festivals going on. And I'm talking about that too. Like, for example, in Minnesota, it could be the dead of winter, and there are still festivals that are outside that people are attending. We don't have that here in Nashville.
Yes.
In the summer, it's just too hot. Right now it's cool at 89 degrees, but the humidity's at 96%. I don't do that well. I've said that. Neither does she. So I said, Colorado's more expensive, but it fits exactly into the lifestyle that we desire. And that's mm-hmm. the key to all of it. Or Wyoming.
Or Wyoming.
Idaho. Exactly.
Or Idaho. Exactly.
So I'm willing to spend more on cost of living to live the lifestyle that we want to live. But if we're not going to live the lifestyle that we want to live, yes, I want to go cheaper.
Yep. But if you're in those areas, typically it's not going to, I mean, Nashville has one of the highest cost of living right now in the U.S. And you know, you can take San Francisco and New York out of the equation because they're not real.
Well, part of the people that are living there, but in the grand scheme of things.
Well, no, but I mean, San Francisco, anything in the city, seriously, you know, the real estate prices are ridiculous. And New York City, my niece, God love her, has taken a real estate gig, and she's, you know, kind of working on it. And I would love for her to do really well if that's what she wants. I'm not sure it is. Long story short, she sends out an email probably quarterly or monthly. And I got the last one, and she said, here's our, you know, their real estate company's mm-hmm. property of the month. $30 million apartment. Manhattan, okay, that's fine. Very desirable area. 5,500 square feet, $30 million. Do you know what the monthly payments are on a $30 million apartment? $120,000 a month. No kidding. I'm like, what? And so if you have that kind of money, that's great. I mean, I'm not about to say people don't deserve that. Like, I don't care. That's fine. But oh my gosh, is
ridiculous.
I mean, that is just not something in my wheelhouse of fathom, because I do not. I don't know how you can figure that out.
No,
And same, there are properties like that, of course.
And we're not Kansas quite that bad here. And you know.
They're still that was so close, because I know your house was only like 10
million. It's on the low end.
So
seriously, you know, it is. I'm not trying to do the woe is me. I'm perfectly happy with the fact that my house is worth a lot. You know, I'm okay with that. It's an investment, and it's paying off right now. If things go the wrong way, I'll still be, because I bought well. You know, even if things go down, I'm still not going to be below what I paid for it, which is really, really good. So I'm okay. I'm happy with that. Yep. And don't think mm-hmm. we're planning on moving anyways, because mm-hmm. anywhere, because the idea is to make her business successful. That's the number one goal.
Of course.
But we were just.
Of course. Yeah. But it's always good to have B, and C, and, you know, just because then you're
my whole point to that was actually to talk about the dispersed camping again. And that's because in Tennessee, there's maybe one place, again, East Tennessee, where you can disperse camp, because mm-hmm. everything, once you start going east of the Mississippi, you start seeing less and less free camping. Yeah. West, there's a bunch of free
that
camping,
makes sense.
But that doesn't really start. I say the Mississippi, but that really doesn't start until you hit the mountains, Colorado, anywhere from Colorado East.
Right.
I'm sorry, West. You're going to see a lot of availability of dispersed camping and things like that, which is much more fun.
Okay. I guess that would make sense. I mean, I would think, you know, just given the land in Nebraska and even, you know, Wyoming, you would find it there as well. And yeah, it's, I get the attraction, and that would be something that, again, as long as you're doing it infrequently, that's awesome. But to try to do it, and, you know, some people that do it full time, there is no shortage of them on YouTube walking you through everything that they go through. And it's a lot of planning.
But you notice a lot of them are,
holy cow,
in the West. Alaska, all the way down.
Well, they're where they want to be.
Exactly.
They're where they want to be.
It's cooler there, you know.
Because why wouldn't you?
I'm not talking about just cool. I'm talking
about
the temperature.
Oh, no, exactly. And that's, you know, there is one couple that I follow, and nice people, and you can just tell. They have bought property in Montana. And they're there mm-hmm. in the summer months, and in the winter, they go to Texas or Florida or wherever, or Arizona.
Yep.
And they love it and it's great. And so that's, so there's an attraction too. You know, you don't have a winter home. You just take your home
that
somewhere
else. That is definitely a plus, isn't it? Yeah, so anyway, that was my trip. That was everything that went through our heads in the last 2 weeks. And yeah.
Okay. The last question I'm going to ask you,
Bear, I didn't need it because I learned after I purchased it that grizzlies no longer live in Colorado. They just vacation there. I don't know. I didn't get into the details as to why they're not there anymore, but they've migrated north. So really the only thing they deal with a lot is black bear. And I grew up with black bears, so I know how to get rid of one if there's one in my camp. So, but I did have my bear spray.
Sure. Well, it's good. And I think it's important to note, I was listening to some comedian that said, you should know that bear spray is not like deodorant.
Right.
Don't put it on people away.
Lot of research on that. So, funny story. We have another coworker who actually expressed to me how he was very nervous about going out there and hiking and worried about bears. And this is, again, before I knew about the grizzlies not being there. So we never had the conversation about that until later. So that solo camping night, which was Sunday to Monday, I was walking around the next morning because it rained quite heavily that night. And I was walking around while I was letting everything dry out before I drove down the mountain to Breckenridge. And someone, I just stumbled on a little stuffed bear that someone had left that was all muddy and gunky and stuff. So I got really close and took a picture. And I was showing everybody the whole week going, yeah, I got attacked by a bear while I was camping. They're like, really? You did? Because everyone's. So I show them the picture and it's the little stuffed animal. And I said, yeah, I got it good with my bear spray.
Yeah. Nice.
I am a great hunter, a great hunter of stuffed bears. Yeah. Anyway,
well,
on that note,
say it. Yes.
Speaking of on that note, Clarkson, the next season of Clarkson's Farm is going to come out pretty soon. I don't think it'll be, I think I said the last one I heard was 2023, but I know it's in production. I know they're working on it. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I am too.
I'm sorry. Looking forward to that. Grand Tour 2023. Sure. I think Clarkson's Farm is coming out in the next few months. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know they're
shooting it.
Or have been shooting it. So maybe it's
excited. Very excited about that. But cool. Anyway, folks, check out, like I said, go to eat.drink.road on Instagram and check out some of the pictures that I will start posting probably over the weekend.
You started already, but not
all of them. Most of them ended up on my personal. Did you hear that little accent there? My personal.
Yeah, most of them ended up on my personal.
Some of them ended up on my personal, most of them did. But I will post some on Eat Drink Road. I just haven't been, with everything else that's been going on, I haven't really been good at about doing that lately, which is pretty typical.
You're a busy fella.
But I will put some up there. But anyway, if you want to hear some of the past episodes, I know last week was a classic episode, which had Mr. Bill Taylor on it. And then, of course, the one before that also had Mr. Bill Taylor as a co-host, not as a guest.
Philly T.
Yeah.
He did. A great job, too. That was fun.
I look forward to listening to the rest of it because I haven't listened to the whole thing yet. I'll be honest. I know I'm a horrible person. I know.
Bill and I are very
probably going to get a call from Bill here in a few minutes. I know. Anyway, check it out. It's always great to have Bill on the podcast, and I was excited that he was a co-host. Sure. And you know that might happen between Mr. Quaddy and I taking some other breaks. You might get some random co-hosts that change it up.
Random awesome.
I like how you say that. So anyway, folks, go up to wahwahwah.pottymouse.com. Check out all the places you can listen and or watch the Potty Mouse podcast. And you know what? Help us out. Oh, we still are looking for feedback on areas that we could really dive deeply into that we could post on our Patreon and unfortunately put it behind a paywall, or fortunately for us, so we can actually keep giving you this content. So we really highly recommend giving us some feedback there so we can get that put together for you. John and I are really excited about that and looking forward to the opportunity. So
yeah, that's going to be
John,
cool.
Any last final words? Not,
We are so thankful for our listeners and viewers. Thanks to you. And please invite some other people to come along. And I know certain people that love to work out to Potty Mouths.
Not me.
Whatever. I was actually doing that today. Me either, obviously. But I don't work out to this podcast.
If I did work out, I'd work out to this podcast.
That's really a good. I don't want to because, like Bill, then I'd be laughing in the gym.
Final note, just really quick. This has nothing to do with my last trip because it was a few weeks before, but I bought a book. It's Dave Grohl, who, for those of you who don't know who Dave Grohl is, he's the drummer and lead singer for most part of Foo Fighters, also was in Nirvana, blah, blah, blah. He actually has a book out called, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, it's Dave Grohl's book, and I was reading it in the Tulsa airport, and I was laughing out loud in the middle of the airport. It was really, really good, so I'd highly recommend it.
Oh, that's awesome. That guy's not only extraordinarily talented, Hot Ones on YouTube.
He's hilarious.
He is, will F-bomb quite often, but he and Sean, were buds forever after that episode, and he just... Sean, he made him do shots, so I won't spoil it for you. But let's just say, Sean, you'll love the alliteration. Sean was shit-faced by the time it was over.
All right.
So do check it out, Dave Grohl with Sean.
And maybe Sean Dave Grohl will come and be a co-host now that we've really talked him up.
I don't know how he can help.
It's just a matter of you and I are going to fight who gets to be the co-host.
See you soon.
He'd be a guest. It doesn't work that way, John. There's so much star power between you and I.
You could be the guest.
It's
wow. Anyway,
I'm going to hang up now.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Good. Thank you. See ya.